We're back again to Parashat Shelach. I'm sure that a great deal has changed in the years, but certainly not enough. The most tragic parasha in Torah. This is going to be the great failing of all time. And unfortunately, as we will see as we continue our way through the Shia, it is something that plagues us until this very day. We'll see that Rav Kook created a word called meragliyot. Meragliyot. I don't know what you call it, spyism? That this sin of the meraglim, for some strange reason, it has to be the satan or the sitra achra, that something The forces of evil in the world are concerned that if Jews are finally going to make their way back over here, evil in the world is finished. So there are those satanic forces. I'm making this up as I go along. Don't take it too seriously. There are these satanic forces in the world I don't know. What always bothers me, and it's been bothering me for a long time, is that I had assumed, and I think I'm right, that for the 2,000 years of Golos that we've been in, starting with Churban by Sheni, the destruction of the Second Temple, what developed amongst Jews was a yearning and a longing for Eretz Yisrael. A yearning and a longing. We're here 65 years, and we have Eretz Yisrael for 65 years. And you know that? That yearning and that longing has just like dissipated, disappeared, become weaker. I speak with young people who unfortunately find their way to my house on Shabbos and curse themselves to having entered into that house, and I don't get the feeling that it makes any difference in their lives. Take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. I don't understand. And it all started in Parashat Shelach. Now, the first two sections, that's really from this week's study. We're not going to read everything, so you better follow me. Number two is going to be the story of the parasha is repeated 38 years later by Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning of Sefer Devarim, when he retells the story of the 40 years in the desert. He also retells the story of the spies. But there are significant differences between the two stories. So let's do a little reading, and then we'll go to work. But I'm going to be skipping around, because we have to skip around. Vayedaver Hashem el Moshe le'emor, and God spoke to Moshe, saying, Shlach lecha anoshim v'yaturu et eretz Kanan. Send unto you forth men, and let them spy out the land of Canaan that I give to the children of Israel. Asher ani noten l'bnei Yisrael, ish achod ish achod l'batei avotav, tishlochu kol nosi behem, from each tribe, a prince of the tribe, 12 tourists. They're really, at this point, they are not called spies. The word for spies is a meragel. A tour is a tourist. The Mephoroshim say the difference between a tor or a tour and a meragel is a tour is looking for the good of what he's going to see. The meragel is looking for the weakness. Yes.
What is the word again for spy?
Meragel. Miragel. And he's looking for the weaknesses. Tzofna Paneach tells his brothers, when they don't know who he is, that you are spies. Lirotet ervat ha'aretz baten. You've come to see the nakedness of the land. You're looking for our weak spots. That's what the Miragel is looking for. He's looking for the bed. That's why the pasuk uses for somebody who speaks lashon hara, or the one who doesn't speak lashon hara, lo ragal al lishono. He doesn't speak bad. They say that a one who speaks Lashon Hara is called a meragel because he walks around with his feet from one place to the next in order to find people to tell his ugly stories to. So here they are being sent out in order to look at the good of the land. And really, this is the intention. That's what, certainly what the Rebbeim intends, that they should come back and say, Chevre, this is it. We're going to a great and a beautiful land. It doesn't work out that way. Vayishlach otam al-shimi medbar paran. Moshe sent them from the desert of Paran al-pi Hashem. And said, al-pi Hashem. It is God who seems to be behind it all. These are all people who are the heads of the children of Israel. All right, we have all of their names over there. We can go down to Pasuk Yud Zayin. Moshe sent them to Eretz Canaan to how do they translate? They use the word to spy out the land. You know, I don't think they have a better word, but that's not the, they're not being sent to spy out the land. They're going to see the land. Investigate is fine. They're not really. They're not spies. They are not spies. For spies, you don't send 12 spies. You understand? A spy, you send one, at the most two, with a raincoat, flaps up, you understand, a hat down over his eyes. That's a spy. But 12 shiner heads of tribes, these are not spies. This is a study mission. The prime minister's mission to Israel, you know. The young leadership of UJA or Bonds. That's what Tarim are. And Moshe Rabbeinu gives them their instructions. He says to them, Vayishlach otam Moshe latur et eretz Canaan. Moshe sent them to see the land of Canaan. And he said to them, Aluza Benegev, go up through the south, Valitim et ahar, go up to the mountains, Uriitim et ha'aretz, and you'll see the land, Mahi, what it is, et ha'ama yoshev aleha. And the people who live there, are they strong? Are they weak? Are they many? Are they few? Are they many? And the land, what about the land itself? Is it a good land? Is it a bad land? And the cities, are the cities of that are fortified, or are they open cities? Do they feel strong enough and powerful enough that they can go ahead and live in open cities because they're not afraid? Or do they lock themselves in behind high walls? Okay, umaharetz hashmeinohi imroza hayesh ba'etzimayin. Is it a fruitful land? Does it have trees? Zaktem ulukachtem ipri haaretz. And you should strengthen yourselves and take from the fruit of the land. Vahayamim it may be kuran of the days were the season of the first ripe grapes. Okay, now they returned. By Yoshuvim Mitur Haaretz, in case our Boim Yom at the end of 40 days, they returned. Vayelchu Vayavo El Moshe, they went and they came to Moshe Vel Aaron and to Aaron Vel Koladap Bnei Yisrael, to the entire community, the children of Israel, on Midbar Paran Kodesha Vayoshivu Otam Davar Vel Kol Haedah. They reported back to Moshe and Aaron and to the entire community, Vayadrum, and they showed them at Pri Haaretz, the fruit of the land. Vayisapru lo, and they related and they said, Banu el Haaretz Hashem Shalachtanu, we came to the land to which you sent us. Vegam Zobas Chalav Edvashi, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. Emes, it's true. Vizet Piriot, take a look, here are her fruits. Sounds terrific. Wonderful, Ephes. But, we will see later in the Ramban that this one word, Ephes, this but, is a but from which we suffer for 3,000 years. But, I can imagine a modern day but, you know, the lifestyle, you know, we're not really used to the lifestyle in Israel, you know. It's different over here. We like it here. We're not going to be able to get used to it. And the Israelis. The Israelis. Oh, God. You know, you can't really live with Israelis, you know. You don't expect me to do that, you know. Okay? We hear this stuff all the time. The buck. And everybody has another stupid, silly, idiotic butt. One of the great ones of all time is five unsuspecting Yeshiva Bachim over here on a one-year program met up with my wife and me. One Meitzoy Shabbos in Center One. And, she does this all the time, and I know what's coming. Hey, you're from America, boys? Yeah. All of a sudden, they all brighten up. Somebody's interested in that. You're learning here? Yeah, where are you learning? You're here. You're from Muncie. You're from Frankfurt. You're from Bam. Yeah, okay. You're learning this issue, that issue. Wonderful. And then I know, that's it. I turn to the side. I know what's going to happen. The explosion comes. Are any of you planning on living here? And then you begin to hear the lifestyle, I could never get used to it. I could never get used to it. And one of them came up, I remember, he tells us, you know, they don't really have good toys for children. So my wife says, you know, I'll take you home, show you our grandchildren. They have more toys than we ever had growing up in America. Don't worry about the poor kids over there. Anyway, it's keep going on for 15, 20 minutes, then you begin to hear the rest of the stuff. You begin to hear the one who's going to say, what are you talking about? You're not allowed to live here. You're not allowed to come up and come to Eretz Yisrael. You have to press a button and wait half an hour to have a shower. We don't have to do that in America. And then they all start, all of them, well, the other four, you press a button. I can learn, you have to press a button right here now. Okay. Can't do that. So all of these chachomim, you understand, they decided that's it, they got the excuse, press a button. This is real. This story I'm telling you is real. We didn't make it up. I could make up good stuff, but I could make up better stuff. I could never think of this. So my wife says, what does my wife say? Yeah. She said, after 120 years, can you imagine, you're going to be up there standing before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and he's going to ask you, why didn't you come to live in my land? How will you feel saying to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, listen, God, you didn't really expect me to live in a place where I have to press a button and wait half an hour for... You can imagine the voice of God crying out, take this man there. All right? So, Gunish Gehalt. Ephes, the big butt of all. Ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz, the land that the people that live in the land are strong. It's more than strong. Ours really comes from Ours's ponim. There's no better word than Ours's ponim. These are chutzpah, these are evil, they're bad, bad people. Va'arim b'tzurot gedolot lo, the cities are fortified, big. The gam yilideha anakari yusha, we saw giants there, they're giants. God! Amalek yoshev b'eretz ha'negev. In the south you have Amalek, Vachiti Vayavusi Vayamodi Yoshev Bahor, Ay Vaknani Yoshev Alayam. And whichever way you want to go through the south, we can invade through the south. Amalek is there. You're going to invade, come via the ocean, according along the Yam. You got the Kanani over there. You're going to travel, go to the mountain. It's impossible. What are you talking about? We'll never make it. You'll never make it. And Vayat HaYarden. Who's that, by the way? The Kanani is also by the Yarden. The Kananim, by the way, were merchantmen. They live by water and on the sea. And that's why it factors it in Tanakh. The word Kanani means a businessman, a seicha, somebody who does business. Because the Kananim were a seafaring business people. Okay? All right, Kalev ben Yefuna realizes over here that there's grief in its silvers. It's very bad. Vayas Kalev, so Omel Moshe, Kalev silenced the people to Moshe, and he said, "Alone na'alevi arashno ota, we're going to go up, and we're going to inherit. We will go up ki yachol nuchala, because we will be able to do it." The people who went up with him said, "Lo nuchal la'alot el ha'am. We are not going to be able to go up against that people. Ki chazok hu mi menu. Because that people there is greater than him. It is too strong for us." The word mimenu really means that stronger than the Jewish people, than us. Chazal, Gemara learns, they were saying chazok hu mimenu from him. They've made a giant step from having no faith in the Jewish people, and they no longer have faith in God himself. This is a profound tragedy. A profound tragedy. To have lost faith in themselves and in God. How it happens, believe me, I've been learning this parasha for a long, long time now. I still don't get it. I know what the things objectively. If we would have known when we learned Parshat Shlach what it says in Devarim, we would look at everything in a completely different way. We would have seen that this was an initiative that did not come from God. All that's happening over here that's correct in Shlach is that God says, "You want to send? Be my guest." If we would have known that the initiative came from the people, we would already be very, very suspicious about it. Because we know already from last week's Sedra the initiatives of the people. The initiatives of the people have already, they've already demonstrated their weakness. They've already demonstrated the fact that they're not really ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. If marching through the desert, they need basar, you understand? That's what they needed. Vayisavu tavo, that's not how you're going to build a country. With blood and with toil you build a country. You don't build it with stakes. But there we get the real story. You, all of you came to me, and Rashi says that they all came like all the young, the old, pushing, shoving, a crowd clamoring, let us send people the Fonenu, the Yachdru Lano et Haaretz, they should dig out the land, the Yashivo Tanu Dover HaDerech HaShen Alaba, the Haarem HaShen Novo Alein. What road should we take? What city should we come to? Vayita be'enei adama. Moshe is very honest. He says, "It was good in my eyes, and I took from you 12 people, Ishaglos. Vayifnu vayalu ahara. They went up to the mountain. Vayavo, and they came at Nachal Eshkol. Vayiraglu ota." Take a look. We've come to the third word. In our Seder, we have the word latur. Over here, we've had already two additional words. Yachperu lano, to dig. Raglu, meaning to spy out. And spying out means going by foot. Going by foot all over, looking for the weaknesses. This is an unbelievable pasuk. I've given already a whole shiur just on this pasuk. It says, "Vayikhu biyadam," they took in their hands, "mipri haaretz," from the fruit of the earth. Vayoridu elenu, and they brought it down to us. Vayoshivu otanu davar, and they brought back word. Vayomu, and they said, "Tova haaretz asher Hashem elokeinu noten lanu." The land that God gives us is good. Do you understand that this pasuk contradicts contradicts itself from beginning to end. Who brought from the fruit of the land? The ten. Who said the land that we're coming to is good? The two, Yahushua and Kalev. And in this pasuk, if you just read it, it seems like it's all the same. So Rashi explains, Vayikhu biyadam ipri haaretz vayoridu eilenu. On these two words, vayoridu eilenu, and they brought down to us. So Rashi says, for the third time in Chumash. What does Rashi say? Anybody in the back over there know what Rashi says? Oh, she doesn't want to answer me. Okay. Eretz Yisrael gavoa mikol haratzot. Rashi says Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the lands, and therefore, if you're bringing something from Eretz Yisrael, you are coming down. What does Rashi mean? Rashi has already said that in Parashat Vayigash, when Yosef, Tzafnat Paneach, says, Maharu v'alu el avi, hurry and go up to my father. So Rashi says, what do you mean, alu? Eretz Yisrael gavoa mikol haaretzot, Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the lands. In Parashat Kitisa, it says, ato ha'al et ha'am, take the people up. Rashi says, Eretz Yisrael gavoa mikol haaretzot. Here is the third time that Rashi says it. I'm not going to give you all the Torah, it will be a shiur of an hour or two, and so on. Go to the website, Rabbi Sholom Gold, spelled SHOLOMGOLD.com, and go to Parsha Vayigash, and also go to Parsha Dvarim, and you'll find the shiurim there. You should get into the habit of, when you open up the your computers, the first thing you look for is my website. I mean, is there anything more important? Maybe a Rut Sheva. Okay. My website. Okay. You know what Rashi is saying? Rashi is so brilliant. Vayoridu Eilenu is not a description of a geographic descent. They took the fruit of the land in their hands, Vayoridu Eilenu, and they brought the land down. They brought the land down. They came and they told us, just like these fruits are so different, that whole land is Mishuna. Hishpilu. What's a good translation for that word? Belittled, humiliated. They brought the land down. All right. Okay. We got to keep going. We're not going to make any papers. Time is running away. Second side, we have the number three is the Ramban. I'm not going to do all of the parts of the Ramban, but the first one we've already said, Shlach Lecha Anoshim. This is a direct quote of Rashi, the first Rashi on Shlach. Ledatcho, Shlach Lecha, you, for you, for your purpose. Ani eini mitzava lecha. I am not commanding you. This is not a command. I'm not commanding you. In Tirzah, if you want to, shlach, send. Lefi shebo Yisrael v'yomer. You see, Rashi, in the first Rashi here in Shlach, he connects it with the story as it appears in Sefer Devarim. Lefi shebo Yisrael, because Israel came and they said, Nishlecha anoshim lefoneinu, let us send people, meaning that the initiative came from the Jewish people. Kemo shenemar, as it says, Vatikruvun elai kulcham, you all came to me. Moshe nimlach b'shchinah. So Moshe went ahead and asked the Rebbein Shem, what should he do? Amar, the Rebbein Shem's response was, Ani amarti lehem shi tova. I told them that it's a good land. What do they want? Shenema, it says, at the snare, Hashem tells Moshe, Alet kamiyoni mitzrayim, I'm going to take you up from the suffering of Egypt, el eretz tova, to a good land. Chayeyem, I swear by them, shani neoten lehem makom litot. If they are doubting my word, you know what? I'm going to give them the opportunity, the possibility of making a mistake. The mistake of Devar HaMeraglim, the words of the Meraglim, lo yidoshua, so that they shouldn't inherit the land. They're unworthy of inheriting the land. Lashon Rashi, mi divrei agoda. That's what Rashi says from the Medrash. Ramban says, Ramban really seems to be making a defense of the Meraglim. If you take a look at that second chapter, a second paragraph, the last line, V'chi al menat she'yo'idu lo sheke sholach otam? Did Moshe Rabbeinu send them so that they should come back and lie? They came back and they reported what they saw. Could they have done any less than that? Doesn't ethics and morality and goodness and honesty and decency demand that we say we can't do it? The Ramban at the top of the left-hand side. Ki Yisrael Amru, what Israel really wanted, the way the Ramban learns it, what Israel really wanted to say, listen, we have to conduct ourselves in the way that any conquering nation conducts themselves. That is, you don't just send an army out into the field without checking, without sending, getting intelligence. We need every last bit of information we can get about the enemy. What are its weak points? What are its strong points? Where is it best to invade? This is terribly important. Israel said, like all those who come to wage war in a strange land, they send before them people to know the roads, how you come into the cities. And when they come back, these spies are going to lead the people and bring them to the places where it is best and easiest to attack, to show them the ways. Now go where it's underlined. The Zoetz Haguna, the Ramban says this is a good advice. The Chol Kov Shearatzot, for all people who conquer lands. And Moshe himself did something later. He sent two Meraglim when they went up to the Golan. And then comes one of the great statements that the Ramban makes in a number of very classic places in Torah. Ki hakatuv lo yismoch b'chol ma'asav al hanes. The Torah never tells us that we should depend on miracles. We have to go about everything that we do with a sense of, you know, is it logical? Is it right? This is how I should do it. Lo somchim al hanes. You don't depend on nisim. Anybody who depends on nisim, they never happen. It's when you go out without a nes that it happens. David HaMelech went out against Goliath. Little David, big Goliath. Goliath with his sword, as a grace with some gulas, and here is little David, little David, with his slingshot. Did he go out? Did David HaMelech go out with the intention, Rabbeinu Shalom? You know, I'm depending on you. Don't let me down now. Don't let me down now. Oh no. You know what? He went out with the intention that he's going to do whatever he can. He's going to fight with all of his heart, with all of his might. And you know what? When you do that, then God moves swiftly into action. Let's say the following. I'll become a little personal. Till we made Aliyah, I was making all sorts of calculations. We didn't have much money, so my wife remembers every time we'd end up at a wedding or a bar mitzvah, on a napkin I'd start writing, you know, $500 from here, plus $600 from there, that's $1,100, and if we win the lottery over there, that's going to be another this. And I make all sorts of financial cheshbonos, you understand. until, if I would ever tell anybody today with what we came, or better said, with what we didn't come, you'd laugh at us. You'd laugh at us. And at the time, I was convinced that my calculations were good. It didn't take me more than a few months to find out that all of my greaser fishbainis were worthless. Worthless! So why did I make such a terrible mistake in my calculations? Why did we make such a terrible mistake in our calculations? You know why we made that mistake? We made that mistake because we wanted to come. And therefore, there was one thing uppermost in our minds. And therefore, I couldn't see all the pitfalls. It brings back to another personal. Early on in my career, when I was Rashiv of Yeshivas Neri Yisrael in Toronto, so the Jewish community started moving northward. And about a kilometer or so north of the yeshiva, a new community developed, and they had started a minyan. And after its first year in operation, I ended up as rabbi of this minyan. And we were what was called the shack. The shack was a wooden structure, but it was one of the schools, in one of the Jewish schools, Eitz Chaim, was having classes, and there they put up the shack. It had a few rooms. It was pretty, you know, a pretty big shack, but a shack nevertheless, something wooden, and we outgrew it. So the question comes to the board, you know, what are we going to do? So my problem was the following. Half the board were accountants, and the other half of the board were stambal about them. The accountants all had their sharpened pencils and had figured out that there's not a chance in the world that we will ever be able to raise the money in order to put up this building. It's just not going to work. Rabbi, you know, you've got to be realistic, Rabbi. Rabbi, you know, you can't live. Rabbi, didn't you tell us the Ramban that says, Ein Sochin Al Anes, you don't depend on miracles? And I was coming to a vote. And you know, already I could see at the meeting, coming to the vote, that it's going to be 50-50, and the president is the one who's going to have the deciding vote. And he's a big accountant. So here it is, I'm left in the hands of an accountant. But he was, at the time, he was mishpucha. Why at the time? Because they got divorced later. So, all right, but meanwhile, at the time, he was married to mishpucha. So I grabbed a hold of him and I took him outside and I said, you gotta vote for it. He says, Rabbi, but we can't do it. I told him, I promise you, we'll do it. We'll make it. But we can't undertake a building project with a one vote. With a majority of one. I told them if they can elect the president of the United States with a majority of one, we can make a decision here, a majority of one. And you know what? The vote passed with a majority of one. And a year later, we moved into the new building. That's all. Not everything is done on the basis of, like, it all has to be figured out in advance. It all has to be figured out in advance. Ben Gurion had everything figured out in advance. Wasn't he the one who says? He was the one who said, if you don't believe in miracles, you're not a realist. What are you talking about? How many people were saying that we can't do it? We're going to be crushed. We're going to be destroyed. It's the most idiotic thing possible. This is the end of the Jewish people. You're going to establish a Medina. Seven Arab nations are coming in. They're going to wipe you out. They didn't. They're still trying. But they didn't. There are certain places and certain moments in life where the cheshbon, the calculation that you make, may be based not necessarily on the figures adding up, but on the motivation, the goal, the objective. If you want it, and you want it badly, then you can do it. If you don't want it badly, the strength and the love of Eretz HaKodesh, Ahavat Tzion Yerushalayim, Torutz Orcho, is going to run ahead v'torek HaShemesh b'gvurata. The refrain in this letter is Rechabotai, Bo'u le'Eretz Yisrael. Bo'u, come to Eretz Yisrael. 1907. You understand? 1907. Not only that, he describes what's going to happen in Russia, in France, in Poland, that there's going to be destruction there. It's all in this letter. It's an awesome letter. This is the man who couldn't see further than his nose. This man had a brilliant, he saw everything before his very eyes so clearly. There's only one other person who comes close to him in this ability to see so clearly. The one who died 2-3 years before he came to Eretz Yisrael. Binyamin Zev Herzl had an awesome ability to see. The biggest dirty word in a yeshiva or in a girl's school or anything is Herzl. That's the biggest dirty word. Aye, the man had awesome vision. Let's be honest, we didn't have it. Not our Rebbe's, not our Chashivas. He had awesome vision. You can't deny that. An awesome vision from somebody who had so little connection to anything Jewish. It's unbelievable. And when you said in 50 years there's going to be a state, 50 years in New York there was a state. It's unbelievable. So these are the two guys, you understand, who are blind. One of them wanted to schmutter everybody. Everybody wants to schmutter. You know, we're getting schmuttered all around. We've been trying to schmutt us already for 2,000 years. And, you know, we're unschmutterable. I like that word. Unschmutterable. That's right. That has a great sound to it. The man saw with absolute clarity. The problem with Meraglim was exactly as Dor HaMelech says it in Tehillim. Vayimasu be'eretz chemda. This is supposed to be a land that you love. And only if you love it are you going to be able to make it. Only if you love it are you going to be able to make the dumb calculations that everything is going to work out and nothing ever works out. And then you start all over again.